We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in Upstate. It is a NBA draft night edition of Straight Up with Sturds, the night that multiple young men become multi-millionaires. And I'm stuck in the studio with Tom Selleck, Magnum PI, otherwise known as Sports Talk's most decent producer at Diesel on Radio, who, by the way, we're starting to shed the most decent and get into glorious. But, I mean, between the beard, between the, I wouldn't exactly call that a Hawaiian shirt, but a nice summer beach theme button-down shirt. If I look out in the parking lot here at Intercom and see a red convertible. Oh, crap, he's got that too. Granted, it's not a Ferrari, it is a Jeep, but yeah, kind of interesting hanging out here with Tom Selleck today, Magnum PI, and that's going to give you a little bit of the attitude of what today's show is going to be about. Couple of zings, zangs, bazingas, whatever. We got a lot of different things to get into, including Major League Baseball and what the hell is going on in Tampa. Also, never assume how many outs there are in the game. Also, the NBA draft tonight will give you our top five, and it's basically the same as everybody else, but we got a little bit of news for you. Who had a draft day workout, which we've heard this name is moving up the board. Well, maybe he moves into the top five. Also, look back at the last decade. You know, how important is the NBA draft? Because you just look at the NBA champion, the Toronto Raptors. Not a single player on that team that was drafted in the top 10, including Kawhi Leonard, the MVP of the finals. So how important is tonight's NBA draft? I think it is for a few teams, but a lot of them are going to be built through the course of free agency trades and things of that nature. So I think the NBA draft in itself is a show. It's quick. It can be entertaining, but in the long run, might be the least important of all the major sports. But also, a chance for us here in the Upstate to stop and think, or even in the Palmetto State, what could have been, what could have been. Got one interview coming up today. We'll catch up with Michael Pius from First Tee of the Upstate, the Spartanburg County Amateur cranking up tomorrow, some other things going on here in the Upstate as well. And then in the 6 p.m. hour, we'll get into our college hour, if you will, Diesel, the top 1-2 punch when it comes to college coaching. By that, I mean football and basketball. Those are the two money-making sports. Which school do you think has the best 1-2 punch in college coaching? And then finally, we'll go get an update on the Rivals recruiting rankings, and I got an interesting fact for you when it comes to that. So we're going to have a lot of fun on the show today. We want you to get in when we open up the phones at 844-GSP-ESPN here in the next segment. But speaking of that recruiting, South Carolina just got a commitment about an hour ago from a defensive back in Orlando. 3-star cornerback Dominic Hill commits to South Carolina over Mizzou. Had some other offers, including North Carolina and Auburn, and some say Alabama. And all. But anyway, nice pickup for South Carolina, defensive back from Orlando. And that creates a trend that we'll talk about in the 6 p.m. hour, or continues a trend in the 6 p.m. hour, about some recruiting when it comes to the Sunshine State. All right, the College World Series will continue at 8 p.m. tonight with an elimination game between Mississippi State and Louisville. Yesterday in the College World Series, early in the day, Louisville eliminated Auburn 5-3. In the continuation of their game that was interrupted by weather the previous evening. Vanderbilt beat Mississippi State late yesterday afternoon, early evening, 6-3. So Vandy moves on to a winner's brackets matchup. And then finally, last night, Texas Tech eliminated Florida State 4-1. So that brings up a couple of points. First of all, Diesel, you know me. I'm the fuddy. I'm the duddy. I'm all about the rings. You like to call me obtuse, if you will, when it comes to I'm a whole lot more about rings than I am statistics. Mike Martin's incredible baseball career as head coach at Florida State comes to an end last night. Over 40 years there at Florida State, I'm talking I think the most winning seasons from one coach in college history. But never got the ring. Most trips to Omaha without winning the college baseball championship, Florida State. Right behind them is Clemson. So a great career, a consistent career, but never got that ring. How does that get viewed? Because I think in the short term it hurts. In the long term, the consistency, you got to stop and look at it. It's pretty amazing. I mean, we just saw Larry Pinley, the Clemson golf coach, tie the former Clemson baseball coach Bill Wilhelm for 38 years there on campus, longest tenure. One thing Larry Pinley has that Bill Wilhelm doesn't is a national championship. So, yeah, being about all the rings, listen, there's a lot to be said for being consistent, leading a good program, having the young men talk about you the way they do. A lot of people here in the upstate are not big fans of Mike Martin, simply in the fact they remember him as being sort of the lead mouthpiece, if you will, for getting the ACC baseball tournament out of Greenville back in the day because they said it was too much of an advantage for Clemson. So, interestingly enough, again, it was a nice piece done by ESPN. Mike Martin and the Florida State Seminoles come to an end. But even more impressive, if you will, coming out of last night's 4-1 win over Florida State. Diesel, what's that old statement from Dumb and Dumber? You telling me there's a chance? Maybe one in a million. So you telling me there's a chance? Think about what Texas Tech Athletics has done this year, all right? In Lubbock, Texas, which a lot of people joke, if you can't see the end of the earth from there, you're pretty close to where you can. But in Lubbock, Texas, out there in windswept, sandy, northwest Texas, the Red Raiders have made an appearance in this year's college basketball Final Four as well as this year's college baseball Final Four. Because after tonight's elimination game, there will only be four teams left, and the Red Raiders are one of those four. I mean, that's pretty amazing for that Big 12 school. That's got to give a lot of other schools a lot of hope out there when it comes to things of that nature. So very impressive by Texas Tech, and maybe most importantly or most impressively what they did is they managed the first domino in firing someone from college football upwards to a head coaching job in the NFL. And by that, I mean Cliff Kingsbury. Couldn't win at Texas Tech, his alma mater, where he played quarterback. He gets fired, becomes the offensive coordinator at Southern Cal for a matter of a couple of weeks, I believe it was. And then, boom, the Arizona Cardinals come and hire him as their head coach in the NFL. So that's a pretty impressive year for one school from West Texas when it comes to Texas Tech. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball and what got dropped earlier today. But real quickly, don't forget, yesterday we found out the dates that Carolina Panthers training camp is coming back here to the upstate. And, of course, it will start on Thursday, July 25th, with a kickoff party at Gibbs Stadium there on the campus of Wofford College. That's 4 p.m. And then 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., of course, the Carolina Panthers will have their first practice. They will be there in Spartanburg till they break camp on Wednesday, August 14th. As a matter of fact, they will close up training camp with a joint practice with the Buffalo Bills, and we'll do some stuff with the Buffalo Sports Talk Station when they are in town. But, of course, they will have one game during that time that they are in training camp, and that's at Chicago at Soldier Field on Thursday, August 8th. Of course, if you're looking forward to it, it's a big deal every year at Bank of America Stadium. Fan Fest, that's going to be on Friday, August 2nd. So maybe the last year, but of course, that big party the first day on July 24th, the Top Cats, Sir Purr, everybody will be there at Gibbs Stadium in Spartanburg. Then don't forget, Diesel, we got UFC Fight Night 154 here this weekend in Greenville, South Carolina. As a matter of fact, that's Saturday night at Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Listen, if you're a UFC fan, if you're MMA, this has got your name written all over it. Why it begins at 4 p.m. The fights actually begin at 4 p.m. at Bon Secours. Now, the prime card, you know, the prime billing doesn't begin till 7 p.m. But, you know, you're talking about what's at stake here. We don't know how much money are guaranteed to individual fighters, but we do know UFC on Saturday night has four $50,000 bonuses at stake. Two will go to the best match, each fighter in the best match of the night, and then two more $50,000 bonuses will be awarded to the best individual performances of the night. So if you're wondering what the motivation is, number one, it's the training to go out there and win. Number two, if you do it well enough, you may get a $50,000 bonus for your actions there on Saturday night. So you can go online at Bon Secours Wellness Arena and get your tickets for UFC Fight Night 154. Again, 4 p.m. the first match, 7 p.m. kind of begins the main event, if you will. So 12 different matches, 24 fighters in all, and again, four $50,000 bonuses up at stake. All right, when we come back, let's give you an update on the Braves, Major League Baseball, and what in the world are you thinking? The Tampa Real X-Rays, whatever another. Listen, you don't have half a wife. You don't have half an alma mater. You don't even have half a girlfriend unless you're like a really big stud and you got multiple of them. But can you have two home cities as a Major League Baseball team? We'll bring you what the league is thinking about, and we'll take your thoughts at 844-GSP-ESPN. Remember, you got Diesel and I right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM down toward Anderson, and always online at Radio. Radio.com and ESPNUpstate.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So, Diesel, let's give a quick update from the FIFA Women's World Cup in France. Because you know what? Despite what some people will tell you on Twitter, it's okay to be patriotic and love your country. The U.S. has a 2-0 lead on Sweden with USA. Roughly a half an hour USA. Left in the game.
USA.
Thank you, man. That makes me feel good. Makes me feel so good. But, yeah, the U.S. scored 3 minutes into the game, went to halftime, up 1-0, have added another one. And, of course, Sweden beat them in the last Women's World Cup and has been talking smack about it. So you can tell that the U.S. side is a little bit motivated to get even. But, hey, man, thumbs up. The Atlanta Braves. You know, it's okay to be patriotic. It's okay to be negative about your team, but there's a very small contingent of Atlanta Braves fans that really want to throw Alex Anthopoulos under the bus because still working to shore up that bullpen. And guess what? The Braves aren't the only team looking for bullpen help right now. But in the meantime, maybe he knows what's going on because simply this. They are 40. Right now, the Braves are 44-31, have won 8 out of their last 10 games. And Dallas Keuchel is set to start his first game for the Braves tomorrow night. So maybe Double A actually knows what he did is doing, because stop and think of the momentum from this 10-game homestand. The Braves win last night 7-2 out of the Mets. A 10-game homestand, Diesel. They take 8 out of 10 games. When they started this 10-game homestand, the Atlanta Braves, they were a game and a half behind the Philadelphia Phillies for first place. They go out of this 10-game homestand to Washington tomorrow night to play the Nationals with a 4-game lead on the Philadelphia Phillies. That's how you make hay in a 10-game homestand. So the Braves, I mean, playing really good baseball. Dallas Keuchel coming in. But a few times that they'll blow a bullpen lead, man, there's a very vocal majority when it comes to Braves fans. So, listen, not all is 100% well, but guess what? Not all is terrible. 44-31 are the Braves with a 4-game lead on Philly, an 8-game lead on Washington, and an 8.5-game lead on the New York Mets. In the NL Central, the Cubs have a half-game lead on the Brewers, 2 games on the Cards, 5.5 on the Reds, and 7 on the Pirates. Man, that's going to be a good, good division coming down the stretch. Then finally, in the West Division, I think the best team in Major League Baseball is the LA Dodgers. They're 50-25. I mean, when you're winning at a .667 clip, that's impressive in baseball. They own a 10-game lead on the Colorado Rockies. You flip over to the American League real quickly. The Yanks have a 3.5-game lead on Tampa Bay. Stop and think about that, because we're getting ready to talk. Tampa Bay, 43-31, just 3.5 games out. All right. The Boston Red Sox are 6.5 out. And then forget about Toronto and Baltimore. Toronto, 20.5 out. 25.5 out is Baltimore. All right. You look at the AL Central. The Twins own a 9-game lead on the Indians and 12.5 on the Sox. And finally out west, the Astros, 8.5 up on the Rangers. But stop and think about this for a minute, Deez. Earlier today, Major League Baseball approved. Tampa was seeking permission. Remember, let's go back and look at these American League East standings right now. The New York Yankees, somehow, some way, with all their injuries, have won 46 games. But the Tampa Bay Rays are 43-31. 3.5 games out of first place. The Tampa Bay Rays have won a World Series championship. But today, they received permission from Major League Baseball's executive council to explore a plan in which the Rays would play in two different cities. All right? They play the first half of the year in Tampa, and then the second half of the year in Montreal. So not even two cities in the same state. You know, back in the day, Green Bay would play some games in Milwaukee at County Stadium and the rest of the games at Green Bay. But, you know, Milwaukee was the big city, 65 or so miles away, but it was still in Wisconsin, all right? What are you if you're in second place, 3.5 games out, and you just got permission from Major League Baseball's executive council to explore being a two-city team? Because I maintain you can't have half a wife. You either have a current wife or an ex-wife, and chances are if it's an ex-wife, it's costing you some money. You can't have a half a mortgage. You either have a mortgage or you don't have a mortgage. How can you have two hometowns? And not only that, be in two completely different countries.
Yeah, I don't really see how this is going to work, because you're essentially telling all of the Tampa loyal fans, which there don't seem to be that many because clearly they're thinking about moving the team, you're telling them to screw off, that they don't matter. Now, that's the way it's going to sound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the fans took it as a challenge and said, show out for your team and maybe we'll keep it here, then they might keep it there. Well, but the reason that they're exploring this in the first place, because they already have plans to do it. They're just testing the waters.
Yes. I think they're testing Tampa's loyalty to St. Pete. Now, as you heard if you heard Mark Ryan's show, he lived in Tampa for a while. And I know this for a fact is being correct, having been down there and lived in Florida. There's a huge rivalry between Tampa and St. Petersburg. Tampa has the Tampa Bay Lightning, has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. St. Petersburg has the NHL team. So they both consider themselves pro cities on opposite sides of the bay, but they don't want to recognize and work as one. So there's a built-in rivalry between Tampa and St. Petersburg. But you know that dome, Tropicana Field. You've seen bowl games in football games in what the U.S. Army All-Star game played in that state. It's not a football stadium, is it?
No.
It's not a baseball stadium either, because how many times have we seen pop flies bounce off the roof? We saw a long home run hit the speakers last week and fall down about second base. That's not a baseball stadium. First of all, whoever approved in St. Petersburg that those plans were actually correct for any type of stadium should lose their job. All right? I maintain that. Now, here is what Major League Baseball's concern is, Diesel. The Rays' average attendance is 14,546. That's the second lowest in Major League Baseball, despite a 43-31 record, 12 games over 500, 3.5 games out of first place.
Then maybe the city should lose their team.
Their opening day payroll of around $65 million was among the lowest in baseball. So you got to give their front office credit. By that, I mean they're getting a lot out of one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. So this is not the New York Knicks and James Dolan, you know what I mean, being a dysfunctional franchise.
Do you think in the locker room they have a photo of the owner's sexy wife with like a little, with her outfit sort of pieced together, and every win they get to peel off a piece? Is that what's going on over there?
Oh man, still, that's my favorite baseball movie. Absolute Major League. You remember she walked in and Lou was just sitting there, and the guy in the jock strap, you remember they all like give her the crossbow at one particular time. All right, so on top of it, they cannot secure a new stadium because Tampa and St. Petersburg, for whatever reason, don't want to work together. All right, so it's a floundering situation, and if they can't work this out, Tampa, that ownership, then that town's going to lose its franchise. Now, Montreal, you go back and go, well, what's the last city in Major League Baseball to lose their franchise? It is the Montreal Expos. If you remember back in the day, they were playing at the Olympic stadium that they built for, the 1976 Olympics. They tried this. They've been through this one time. For people that don't remember, before they ended up allowing the Washington Nationals to take in the Montreal Expos, they allowed the Montreal Expos, did Major League Baseball, to play some of their home games in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So, I mean, again, I maintain this doesn't work, and it brings up variables. And real quick, before we come to you, Bill, how does a tax structure of this potentially work? Are you going to pay taxes on your what you make in two different countries? Is it going to be proportioned according to the number of games that you play in Canada? Because that's there are a lot of variables that are involved here, but I maintain this doesn't work. This is testing the loyalty of the Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg area to see how serious they are about having a Major League Baseball team, and will they put a new stadium in for them to be successful? And then that brings up the next question. In today's day and age, when everybody's ticked off with politics, should municipalities even be into building stadiums for multi-billionaire owners? Let's get – hey, don't forget the NBA draft will start here, coverage at 7 p.m. on ESPN Upstate. Of course, Zion will go number one. Hearing there might be a little bit of movement in that top five potentially that has been pretty dead set for a month now. Let's go to the phones. Let's get Bill's opinion on the NBA draft. Bill, hope you're having a good day.
I'm just not 100% sold on Zion. Mm-hmm. And what makes me say that, when they come down Duke and they need that big shot, why was R.J. Barrett taking it and usually missing it? That makes me wonder a little about both of them. And, you know, they, years ago they called people sometimers. I don't know if they use that phrase now. Sometimes they'd be great, sometimes mm-hmm. they wasn't. That guy from Texas Tech, Culver, he's won that way. He did nothing in the Final Four, and he's supposed to be the big man. And the poor guy, Wofford, I think he blew any chance of getting drafted, when if he'd had a halfway decent game at Kentucky, Wofford would have beat him. It went 0 for 12. I think he just blew any chance right there. I hate to see that.
Well, I think one of the things, Bill, that happened with Fletcher McGee at Wofford, as the year went on, his knees caught up with him a little bit, and that's the one thing that Kentucky did to him in that NCAA tournament. They just out-physicaled him. By that, I mean Fletcher did not have to work that hard all year long to get off a shot as he did versus Kentucky. So, you know, whether we like Calipari or not, those guys will scrap defensively. Zion, I'm with you. There's so much upside to Zion. Diesel, you saw that photo that I showed you, which congratulations to some NBA players. It was an international player sitting at a table yesterday at the interviews up in New York for the draft. And there's a throng of what, maybe 500 reporters and cameras around Zion? And how many around that international player?
Yeah, but you don't even know his name.
Point being. Point said, but still, he's obviously good if he got one of the green room invites to the NBA draft. You know what I mean? But he had nobody. Zilcho, nada. He's sitting there looking at the throng at Zion. And great kudos to some NBA veterans out there that started tweeting him on Twitter and asking questions. So he didn't sit there and look like, you know, but that's that Zion effect. But I'm with Bill. With all due respect, and this isn't a Ricky Bobby comment coming, I still got a couple of questions on Zion that are going to be answered over the next couple of years as that body matures. Number one, you don't stay on top of it. That could get out of hand. I mean, you know, they referred to Charles Barkley at one point, the round mound of rebound. So that's one thing. Number two, in this day and age of the NBA, you have to be able to shoot the ball. Zion worked on that exponentially last year at Duke. Now he's got to continue. Why? Because that the three-point line continues to move back two more feet between college basketball and the NBA. I think we were all in agreement when LeBron came out, he had that basketball physique that he was can't miss. I think Zion's somewhere in between. We'll take your opinions. 844-GSP, ESPN, but bring it to us straight up. When we come back, we got a question to bring you. What was a worse decision? All right, NBA draft begins. Covered 7 p.m. on ESPN Upstate. Scott patiently waited during the break. Wanted to talk about Zion and big shot. Scott, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
Hey, Serge, how's it going?
Man,
having a good afternoon.
It's a little bit of a jealousy afternoon for me at 51 years old, knowing that tonight roughly 31 kids are going to have a hell of a lot more zeros on their bank account than me.
I hear that, man. Well, jealousy is actually something I kind of wanted to touch on, because I heard the last caller saying that Zion never took the big shot, and he didn't. And the reason I feel that was because R.J. Barrett's kind of a ball hog, and I almost sensed some jealousy from R.J. over Zion. And I feel like that in those situations, that's why he would try to take the ball, and he wanted to have all the attention for himself. And I also hear people talking about that maybe, you know, that the Pelicans are going to try to get them to play together, maybe get Barrett with the fourth pick. And that's the last thing I want to see happen, honestly.
Now,
I just
want
to hear your thoughts on that.
Let me ask you this, all right? I keep coming back to two different games in the NCAA tournament. My wife and child and I piled in the car, and we went down to Columbia for the Duke-UCF game. And I'm glad I did, because that was the only chance I saw Zion this year. And there's a different electricity when he's in the building. But the great Coach K, his moves at the end of the game were let one of his guys take the ball to the hoop, and if he doesn't make the drive and the shot, maybe one of these other ones will come clean it up. Maybe that was Zion's responsibility. On the flip side, I go back to how Duke got beat in the NCAA tournament and look at the set play Tom Izzo called in that spot, and boom, they knock off Duke in the one and done. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see how Coach K is adapted to that style as well.
I don't know. I can't remember the exact plays that were drawn up in those situations. I just remember, aside from the tournament, throughout the year, there was a couple situations where it came down to a last shot, and every time it was R.J. Barrett trying to play one on five, basically, take the last shot when Zion was right there. And if I wanted one guy to take, that had to go one on five, I'd rather put it in Zion's hands, personally.
I'm 100% in agreement with you there. And listen, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for getting in. And listen, I want Zion to be successful. Stop and think about this, Diesel. Tonight, likely in the first 20 picks of tonight's NBA draft, we're going to have not one, not two. God, I'm starting to sound like LeBron there when he signed with Miami. But we're going to have three Palmetto State prep players drafted in the top 20 draft picks, including going 1-2, more than likely. Of course, Zion won. Ja Morant from Murray State going number two. He's from Dalzell, South Carolina. And the Tigers and the Gamecocks both missed out on him. You're also going to see from right here in Greenville, South Carolina, playing his high school prep ball, Legacy Charter, Nicholas Claxton, who played last year at Georgia, where his dad, Charles Claxton, played. Go in the top 20. He was one of 23 players that ended up with an official green room invite. So, man, what does that say when we got three of the top 20 probably draft picks in the NBA draft, two of them one and done, one of them two and done, yet we can't get over the hump, but every once in a while when it comes to college basketball in this state. It's kind of interesting. I mean, the talent's here. We just saw another five-star recruit from Portugal High School choose Tennessee over our two in-state teams. Sooner or later, you got to start keeping the talent here at home. I don't care how. You just got to do it. You got to do it. So, again, Zion, not 100% in my category. A couple people out there will actually tell you he's not the best player in this draft. They actually think it's Ja Morant. But I don't think you can go wrong either way. The one thing that I love about Zion, I really do. You saw that mess yesterday that he was being, spotlights in his face, cameras, 500 people, nobody at the table next to him interviewing the international guy. And they kept talking, do you want to be the next LeBron? Do you want to be the next LeBron? And Zion Williamson every time rebuffed that by saying, no, I just want to be Zion. And there's a guy that gets it in the fact that he doesn't come off as a prima donna. He's actually very smart, and I've confirmed it from nobody gave him grades that passed him through Spartanburg Day School, and that's one of the better academic preparatory private schools here in the upstate of South Carolina. And no, he wasn't given grades to get through there. He actually earned them. And number three, he had a Popeye's chicken box. That's what he celebrated with the other night. They asked him what he's going to do tomorrow. He said, go have a quiet dinner with family. Now, the reality is Zion, you can't go to a bar and go order a drink. Now, you can. Somebody's probably going to serve you and probably brag about it on Twitter, Diesel. We got the number one NBA draft pick in here having a drink, but we all know Zion's not 21. And technically, you're not supposed to be in a bar drinking if you're not 21 years old. So I think somebody would be willing to break that for him tonight. All right, when we come back, it's open phones. Whatever you want to get into, whatever questions you have. But I've got a question for you, Diesel. Which is a worse decision? All right? And then don't forget, top of the 5 p.m. hour, we'll talk with Michael Pius, the executive director of First Tee here in the Upstate. A lot of big things going on with them this summer, including a county amateur that begins tomorrow. So they have reached the 90th minute mark of this World Cup match over in France between the U.S. women's national team and Sweden. And the U.S. is up 2-0 in extra time. So it would take a monumental screw up here. And, of course, Sweden is the team that actually knocked off the U.S. in the 2016 World Cup. So I think there is a little bit. It's hard to quantify, Diesel. It's hard to tag that revenge factor, you know, and that's one, regardless of how good you are, that revenge factor is always something that you can work into positive momentum, because that team got the best of you the last time, and if you have a moment's worth of pride, then you're going to fight through that best you can. So 2-0 in the 91st minute now, as the U.S. and the Swedes continue the end of this game. Now, we were talking earlier, Major League Baseball, if you haven't heard, I don't know what the deal is. If they're hoping to keep a team in Florida, because Diesel, when you look at the Miami Marlins, they're 20 games under 500. They have Derek Jeter as their general manager, one of the most well-known names in all of Major League Baseball history, much less at the current time. They got that new ballpark built for them down in Miami that has the big aquarium, you know, that kind of goes in it. And nobody shows up for their games. Obviously, at 14,000, number two on the list, one spot up in average attendance is Tampa. So your two lowest rated attendance markets are in the state of Florida. Maybe Major League Baseball doesn't work in Florida because it's one of the two destinations for spring league ball. You know, they call it the Grapefruit League in spring training or the Cactus League in Arizona, depending on where you go play your spring training. Maybe that's enough to suffice in the state of Florida, because both of those cities and both of those fan bases are failing majorly. It's supporting the club and bringing revenue in. So this new word, you know, the new news, if you will, the Tampa Bay Rays playing the first half of the year in what they're hoping for what will be a new ballpark in Tampa. In the second half of the season at what they hope will be a new ballpark in Montreal. Dude, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't get the people in Tampa to commit to a new stadium in the Tampa St. Pete and only get half the games. So this has to be some kind of threat, or this franchise is going to fully relocate. That's the thing I'm thinking about it. But having two cities, you know, we've heard it at the major, we've had it happen at Major League Baseball in the past. We mentioned the Montreal Expos back in the day. They ended up playing some games in San Juan, Puerto Rico before they relocated that franchise from Montreal to Washington, D.C. We've also even heard rumors that the NFL was looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars franchise and going to make them play two games a year in London, which, again, that'd be a cluster. You'd have to make it back-to-back games and back-to-back weeks. You know what I mean?
Sturge, did you ever watch the show Vikings?
Little bit, yeah.
There was a part of the series, somewhere around season two, season three, something like that, where the main character, Ragnar Lothbrok, he's got his shield maiden wife, Lagertha. She's a badass. She goes to fight wars with him, and she's awesome. Well, then he takes his son on a pilgrimage to some special tree, you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere, and he meets this big, tall, beautiful, statuesque Norse lady, and he falls in love with her. He brings her back to his hometown, and he tries to suggest to his wife,
hey, I've heard of arrangements where a man can have two wives and it can kind of work out. Guess what? It didn't work out. It's not going to work out for the Tampa Bay Rays.
What has been Dabo Swinney's mantra? That's where I got dot in my. What has been Dabo Swinney's mantra the last 8 years at Clemson? One two-little word phrase.
All, let's party.
Well, that too. All in. You can't be halfway in with two cities. You know what I mean?
Can't be all in when you're halfway in.
Number two, why the hell do – what does Major League Baseball think Tampa, that organization, has the leverage to get two new home stadiums out of the deal? Because what they're thinking eventually, Montreal had this diesel. Do you remember the circular stadiums? We had Atlanta Fulton County Stadium back in the day. I'm sure you remember that with the Braves. But you also had Three Rivers Stadium at Pittsburgh. You also had Cincinnati Riverfront Stadium. You had Busch Stadium in St. Louis. They were all these circular stadiums, you know what I mean? Basically designed by the same architect to have football and baseball played in them, which if you're not a baseball stadium, if you're not a football stadium, are you a stadium? Well, they all kind of happened along with 1976 Olympic Stadium in Montreal. And it was a dump. I mean, it was a dump of major proportions. Well, Major League Baseball would love to get back to Montreal because it's become this corporate hub. You actually had the map up when we were in your office earlier before we got on the air. It doesn't look like Montreal and Toronto are more than, what, 150 miles from each other? And the thing is even though it's Quebec and a French-speaking province of Canada, you know, it's not that far from the American border, from the U.S. border as well. So I think Major League Baseball has identified we could easily, with that corporate franchising that's gone on in Montreal, move a franchise back there and get away with it. And this is the threat that they're making to Tampa. So it's going to be interesting. All right, so I want you to think about this, and I'm going to set you up because we're going to change gears here in a minute at the top of the hour with Michael Pius from the First Tee of the Upstate. But when we come back from him, I've got a question for you. For every good idea, there's probably, what, 10 bad ideas? For every successful business, what, you think there's 100 failed businesses, something like that? But let's get into worst decisions in sports. Like, if I challenge you right now, can you spit every team in the ACC Coastal Division and the ACC Atlantic Division out? Boom, right off the top of your tongue.
Nope.
Okay. That's never been the best way, but you had to do something because you couldn't do ACC North, ACC South, because then it would have been an imbalanced situation. Well, the Big Ten took it to a whole nother level back in the day. They named their divisions the Big Ten Leaders Division and the Big Ten Legends Division, and nobody knew what the hell was what. And finally, they get it right, and they just go Big Ten East, Big Ten West, and we have a little bit better chance of getting what teams. That was a bad marketing decision. So is combining one Major League Baseball team into two different cities. Like Drew LeBlanc says on Twitter, it says half of Florida is retired Canadians anyway, hashtag snowbirds. All right, so a bad decision, in my opinion, is having two homes for a Major League Baseball team, Tampa, Montreal, Rays. Because, you know, you think of aquatic devilfish when you think of Montreal, don't you? A third bad decision. How about recently, in the last year, the Alliance of American Football? If you are underfunded and you are begging for money, should you even get off the ground in the first place? Because most business, or I at least know of restaurants, 90% of restaurants fail in their first year. Why they go into the process underfunded? Or my fourth idea, as far as a bad idea, you got it. You wanted free agency in college athletics, but the transfer portal in the matter of about a six-month period, Diesel, that's looking like a really bad idea in sports. So We'll get into that at 5:20. But first tee of the upstate. They do a lot of good for our kids here, keeping them busy. They run the county amateurs. We're going to talk with Michael Pius, the executive director of First Tee of the Upstate. You can find out how to get in touch with them, what all they offer, how you could get your child involved, a lot of cool things. It's that time during the summer where, you know, sometimes as adults, we got to work so we can continue. And what are we going to do with our kids? Well, we can give you some alternatives there. Then we're going to get into our question, then the NBA draft, then college athletics, because I'm hearing we might have a little bit of movement possibly within the top five of tonight's draft order.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.